Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Was Joseph Smith capable of writing or dictating the Book of Mormon? Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. And with me today is my good friend, Corey Anderson, pastor of Shadow Mountain Church in West Jordan, Utah. Corey has been kind enough to come in and address 51 questions that were put together by a Mormon apologist named Greg Trimble. 51 questions that he said might lead you to Mormonism, and I'm certain that a lot of Mormons might find his questions to be very faith-promoting. However, we have found that they're not quite as strong as maybe Mr. Trimble thinks they are. Today we're looking at question number 35, and he says, Joseph Smith, and then a quotation, could neither write nor dictate a coherent and well-worded letter, end quote, according to his wife and many others. Could he have written the Book of Mormon? And that's an argument that I do hear Mormons say, was how can someone of Joseph Smith education and such come up with such an elaborate book? Is that even possible? What would you say as a pastor to one of your congregation that asked you that?
Well, I guess I would want to just maybe challenge a little bit of Trimble's assumptions that he's making here. I mean, first of all, probably from his perspective, he's not going to say that Joseph Smith wrote the Book of Mormon. He's going to say that Joseph Smith translated it. Mm-hmm. Of course, we're the ones who would say that Joseph Smith wrote the Book of Mormon or somebody else did. So challenging his assumption here a little bit, when he states that Smith could not write, or his wife states that Smith could neither dictate or write a coherent worded letter, what if Smith didn't actually write the Book of Mormon? I mean, that's a question that needs to be asked altogether. Because the authorship of the Book of Mormon has been called into question over the years, and a number of theories exist as to its authorship. One of the theories is the idea that the Book of Mormon has many similarities to an unpublished novel written before 1816 by a retired minister named Solomon Spaulding.
But what about the fact that Joseph Smith's family used to listen to Joseph Smith entertain the family by these elaborate stories that he would tell about ancient inhabitants? It seems like at least the idea behind the theme of the Book of Mormon was something that was a part of Joseph Smith at that time. I get the impression that maybe Emma, in order to protect her husband's calling as a prophet, do you think maybe she and others were probably embellishing just a little bit? There's a little bit of hyperbole in this. Because when I read what Joseph Smith has written, he doesn't come off as such a rube that he doesn't know how to form a sentence or anything like that. Maybe spelling, of course, would be off a little bit, but that's not a big deal. Then in question 36, he says, Mr. Trimble writes, if he did write the Book of Mormon, where or how did he accumulate so much wisdom in under 22 years of life? Do you think maybe he meant to use the word knowledge? I just find it odd that he uses the word wisdom. I don't know. What would you say to that?
I would think so, too. I would think we're talking about knowledge in terms of having to potentially gather some data to form a piece of fiction. I mean, depending on where you're gathering that information from, that's a knowledge issue.
I'm wondering if maybe he just used the wrong word and he meant knowledge. It's hard to say because, again, he doesn't give a lot of context for the questions that he's asking. Question 37, could Joseph Smith have been capable of plagiarizing from other books to write the Book of Mormon?
I think the answer to that is yes.
Yes.
Why
that's
not?
The quick answer.
The real issue is if he was the one who actually wrote the Book of Mormon, or took something that was already in existence and further elaborated on it, what sources did he have access to that he may have pulled from?
Well, we certainly know he pulls from the Bible because there's a lot of verses in the Book of Mormon that come right from the Bible. And he has, for instance, quotations from the Apostle Paul hundreds of years before Paul ever existed. And then we also have the plagiarism of the Book of Isaiah. But that question, number 37, is certainly tied with question 38. If you say he plagiarized from a book that was popular and well known in his area, then how come no one called him out on it when he released the Book of Mormon? Now, this question really threw me because I would have thought that Mr. Trimble would know about E.D. Howe's book, Mormonism Unveiled.
Yes.
Because that's where that charge is leveled. And that book came out in 1834. It's only 4 years after the Book of Mormon is published.
And I could read the introduction to that book, Mormonism Unveiled. It refers to this being a faithful account of that singular imposition and delusion from its rise to the present time, with sketches of the characters of its propagators and a full detail of the manner in which the famous Golden Bible was brought before the world, to which are added inquiries into the probability that the historical part of the said Bible was written by one Solomon Spaulding more than 20 years ago and by him intended to have been published as a romance.
And that was never published. So then the question is, well, how did Joseph Smith find out about that? Could he have actually plagiarized an unpublished manuscript? And there's evidence to show that that could have easily happened.
Yes.
That there were connections with Joseph Smith and people that had connections with the manuscript, that was quite possible. And we don't have time to go into it in detail today. Question number 39, every scribe for Joseph Smith said he used no other manuscript or third-party source material. Do you think Joseph Smith could have curated, memorized, and dictated Jacob 5, and then he refers to the allegory of the olive tree, let alone the entire Book of Mormon?
I just really want to know, how would they know this since Smith translated the Book of Mormon from behind a curtain?
He did. For a lot of the Book of Mormon, he was behind a blanket or curtain of some sort, because I've been to the Peter Whitmer farm, and they have rebuilt the Peter Whitmer cabin where Smith did a lot of this translating in the room where he supposedly did this. And of course, it's all been reconstructed. But in the room where he did the translation of the plates, they do show a table with a blanket separating it. So that's a great question. How would they know he didn't at times? And if there were times when there was not a blanket separating them, I would have to assume he also didn't have the plates with him as well, because we don't have any record of any of these translators or scribes, I should say, saying that they saw the plates in front of Joseph Smith when he was doing the translation. So could he have easily dictated Jacob 5, the allegory of the olive tree? Perhaps. But again, the evidence tends to show that this argument may not be quite as strong. Next question. Number 40. 11 plus people testified that they saw or handled the Book of Mormon plates. Many of these people became mad at Joseph Smith. Is it feasible that none of them would have, quote, spilled the beans, end quote, if it was a calculated fraud in order to destroy Joseph Smith?
To my knowledge on the subject, no one actually saw with their physical eyes the actual plates. And in terms of handling them, from what I understood, nobody actually handled them with their hands and saw them with their physical eyes at the same time.
That's a great point. It sounds like the testimony of the witnesses is a conflation of two different events, because we do know that the witnesses claim to handle them, but usually they were wrapped up or in a box, and they only thought they were the plates because that's no doubt what Joseph Smith told them they were. But you're right. We have the first volume of the history of the church that actually tells us that the three witnesses did see the plates in a vision. So when he talks about 11-plus people testified that they saw or handled the Book of Mormon plates, I think, again, we need to go back to the context and what actually happened, or in other words, how did they see the plates? And therein comes a whole lot of questions, and it usually points to the fact that they saw them in a vision, or they held them when they were wrapped up or in some other kind of object. And then question number 41, who are the other sheep that are not of this fold, referred to by Christ in John 10:16? And then he says, hint, it's not the Gentiles. Well, wait a minute. How can he come to the conclusion that it's not the Gentiles when there's so much information that seems to point to that very fact?
Yeah, I think the context, if we just simply look at the context of John 10 itself, I would like to ask Mr. Trimble if there's anything in the context of John 10 that would lead to any other conclusion. Is there anything in the context that would lead us to believe that this is the people from another continent altogether? I think, too, I mean, we look at the immediate context, and then we look at the context of the whole book of John, the Gospel of John. John specifically tells us in John 20:31 why he wrote. If we are assuming that it's not a purely Jewish audience, that it's more of a Gentile audience, he's writing to them that they may believe that Jesus is the Christ or the Messiah. And in the early part, in the early Christian church, the very beginning, there was a major issue over Gentile inclusion into the faith. Most of the New Testament seems to deal with this diversity of Jew and Gentile, how they'd be brought in.
I think one of the strongest evidences to show that it is referring to the Gentiles is, for one, the Old Testament predictions. We have Malachi 1:11, that God's name shall be great among the Gentiles. We have Isaiah 49:6. I will give you for a light to the Gentiles, that thou may see my salvation unto the ends of the earth. But what about Romans 15? Paul spends several verses here pointing to the fact that the Old Testament predicts that this is going to happen, where he talks about in verse 9, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. And then he says, as it is written. And then he cites, for this reason I will confess to you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. And again he says, rejoice, O Gentile, with his people. And then in verse 11, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, laud him, all you people. In verse 12, Isaiah, he cites Isaiah, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he also shall rise to reign over the Gentiles. In him the Gentiles shall hope. Well, it seems like Paul saw a connection with the Gentiles. Why wouldn't a Mormon see that connection? Well, it's because they're already starting with this presupposition. They've been told that it has to be speaking of this displaced people group that somehow ended up in the Western Hemisphere, and this is how it justifies Joseph Smith being a prophet of God, and of course vindicates the Book of Mormon as being an ancient text. But what do you think when he says it's not the Gentiles?
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't know what Christians have said about this? I mean, just to say it's not the Gentiles, give us a little bit more than that if you're going to prove your case.
That's right.
And he doesn't seem to do that, unfortunately.
No, he really doesn't.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. You just listened to today's broadcast of Viewpoint on Mormonism. But did you know that you can hear previous shows at your convenience? The Viewpoint on Mormonism podcast is free on the internet and will help you learn more about the LDS religion. Feel free to listen on your computer or download to your favorite listening device. Just go to mrm.org and click on the right side where it says On Air. All of our shows are here, so visit mrm.org today. At Mormonism Research Ministry, we're committed to equipping Christian believers to effectively share their faith with their Mormon friends and loved ones. That's why we produce Viewpoint on Mormonism, as well as operate our website, mrm.org, where you can find a wealth of information on this topic. We also have books and downloadable MP3s available online. In addition, we invite you to join in on the conversation at our blog site called Mormon Coffee. We want to be your resource for helping you better share the Christian faith.